This is RSB&B Update, episode 176, recorded Thursday, October 30th, 2008. A Handful of Frights, Witches, the Evil Turnip, and Stephen Harper. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this fantastic edition where we're going to share our knowledge with you, and hopefully you will come away from this, listening to this episode, a smarter person than you were before.
Or if you listen to Shane, a more ignorant person.
I don't think so. So that's Brad. And then we also got Schwa here this week, who is a member of the RSB&B Informer, the events crew, and content crew on RSB&B, and otherwise known as Elevator Boy, I think, right?
Yes, the elevator. That was a darker time.
Yeah, that was rather disturbing, I think. Brad, did you see that video?
No.
Well, you don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Okay, well, I'll stay in the top.
So, you guys do the Halloween update this week?
No.
No, I never got around to it, but from what I heard, it's still pretty terrible.
No, it's actually one of the better ones, actually. Strangely. So
she needs an enchant something about a woman needing an enchanted broom in the quest.
Yeah, that's the case in the quest. The woman needs
but
her broom.
But her ox
enchanted.
Has a cold and can't be left alone. That's got to be the worst excuse ever.
No,
why
you got to.
Why did you come into school today? My ox has a cold and I can't leave it alone.
So that's perfectly valid, you know.
No, it's not. It's stupid.
Anyways, we'll do the event first. As one would expect, it's based up on Halloween. So what you do?
Oh
here,
no way!
Yeah,
I thought this was a Christmas themed event.
Basically, first off, you go to Maggie, and she says that there are people around doing Halloween stuff, and you can get candy for them. But again, she can't leave the ox because it has a cold, so you need to go get her candy, right? So I think it's 4 chocolate drops, 5 wrapped candies, and 6 popcorn balls that you need to get her. So basically what you want to do is look into her cauldron to get the trichomote, which is basically like bats that swarm you or something, I guess. Then after that, you have to head around to Drainer Village, Port Sarum, and Rimington to get the candy that you need. And once you come back, she will reward you by giving you the warlock or witch outfit, whether you are male or female, respectively, of course. So it's a rather simple event. But it's not really based on the fact that it's simple, that it's good. It's more along the lines of the graphics. Have you guys seen the graphics?
I've seen some of the graphics. Yeah, the graphics are really impressive.
Yeah, so that's sort of what's leading me to say that this is a good event. I'd place them in the order of Christmas 2005 first, then last year's Halloween, or maybe, I don't know, it's hard to organize the Halloween ones. I think the best Halloween one was when you gave the candy to the kids around Lumbridge, you know?
You just liked it because they said you were the best, you egomaniac.
No, but you are the best, you know?
You're not. I am, though.
No, I mean you, the person, the player, are the best, of course, to the kid, because you're giving
them
candy.
Shane, the kid isn't real. It's just a bit of code.
No, but it's a real figment of RuneScape, you know?
Oh, see, I think that this is the only time that Shane ever had someone tell me he's the best.
Oh, I get people telling me the best every week, actually.
Oh, who's that?
Do you just keep going back to the kids? Is that what it is?
No. No. What happens is there's people who would see me in clan chat or something along the lines of that, you know?
Okay, in other words, idiots.
No. And my farming followers? People who have...
Your farming followers.
People who
is there a more sad bunch of human beings on the earth? I think not. Okay, enough ripping on Shane. Let's move on.
Okay, so I still say Christmas 2005 is best, followed by when you got the candy. That this one and last year's are tied for third, but I'd be willing to elevate this one up just because of the nice graphics, which you can see at runewire.com/Shane.
Christmas 2005 was
the Marionettes the tree.
The big Christmas tree. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one. So that was my favorite.
Yes. And along with this, we also got Swept Away. That's the sound a broom makes.
No.
Okay. This quest will be members only once the Halloween event is over. So
but during Halloween, it's free.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I know. That's pretty good. So basically, as Brad mentioned before, Maggie needs her broomstick enchanted so that she can finish her whatever she's making in the cauldron. So basically, again, once again, you got to go to Drainer Village, Aggie, Port Sarum. I forget the one's name in Port Sarum. Does anybody know?
Whose name in Port Sarum?
The witch.
Oh,
I thought she was in Remington.
Yeah, there's one in Port Sarum, Remington, and Drainer. The one, Hetty is in Remington, and then Betty is in Port Sarum, and Aggie is in
Drainer. Hetty, and that's Remington.
Yes, Betty is Remington. And basically
Hetty, not Betty.
Betty is, Hetty.
Hetty, H, not B.
Hetty needs needs a newt, but you have to go down into her storage room because the person who's managing the storage room got all the labels mixed up, so you need to put the labels on the right case and bring Hetty a newt.
Yeah.
Then she'll add her enchantment to it.
Much like the dumbass you mailed me my bloody Xbox controller. Asshole.
Betty in Port Sarum once again has a conundrum in which her creatures in the basement are mixed up, and it's like one of those logic games where you can only bring one creature across the river at a time, but you can't leave certain
like
combinations together.
The fox, the wheat, and the chicken, right?
Yeah, that's what this is like. It involves the blackbird, the bat, the snail, the rat, the spider, and the reptile.
Okay, so it's a bit more complex.
Yeah, and you need to move them each to a different holding pen in order to accomplish that. So that's the most complicated out of the three. And then Aggie and Drainer Village teleports you to this witch realm where witches go to concentrate when they're working on a new spell or something. So that was rather interesting.
Yeah, it sure sounds interesting. Not.
It was. And there's these things of sand on the ground. You need to... It's like, I don't know how to describe it. You know, like when you play with toothpicks, you know, and you put them into triangle shapes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No? You put them into like triangle... You use different toothpicks. You use three toothpicks to make a triangle, right?
Yeah.
And then you put triangles together to make a parallelogram, you know? And then what you need to do in this one is sweep away four sides of different triangles to leave you with four triangles left. I don't know if I'm making any sense here. Am I?
I stopped listening about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's clear enough, but I haven't even done it, so I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, so basically there's 16 original pieces of sand. You need to sweep four of them away in order to make four triangles. I know, it's easy once you get there, but yeah. Imagine you have 16 pens, right, Brad?
Or 16 pens.
Or 16 toothpicks, and you put them together to make different shapes of triangles in a parallelogram.
Yes,
and
I understand.
You need to remove four of them in order to make four triangles left rather than a parallelogram.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we agree with that. And the reward, one quest point, Maggie's broomstick, which you can destroy and leave because you can't put it in the costume room, even though it does have a nice sweep emote, you know? You can, like, sweep the floor, but I got rid of it. And then you also get 10 portions of Maggie's special goulash, which gives 10 times the amount of, or the 10 times the level that you pick. So if you have level 99 farming and you choose farm, you'll get 990 XP, and you can do that 10 times.
Can you use it on the same skill over and over?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good reward.
I like that.
Yeah, so
I bet you got 9,900 farming experience.
No, actually I did it in summoning because I can get that much farming experience rather easily.
Shoot yourself.
Yeah. The skill capes make sounds now, actually.
They make sounds?
Yeah. Schwa, do you have any 99s?
Yes.
Which ones?
Just fletching.
Yeah. So next time you're on RS and you have your cape on, do the emote and it'll play a sound.
Do you think they sampled your fishing sound for the...
I don't know. Why don't you log in and check?
Okay.
I'll play my sounds right now.
Filler.
No, I'm going to play my sounds right now. So they go in order of farming, herb lore, wood cutting, then quest points. That was farming. Herbler?
Yeah.
Wood cutting?
Totally.
That was quest points.
That one hurts my ears. I'm logging in now.
Was that third one outside your window?
No, that was on RuneScape.
Okay.
Didn't it sound very real?
No.
I need to turn my RuneScape sound on. Okay, sound. Phew. On. Right, okay, now let's do my emote. Anytime this year. Right. It just makes a sploosh sound.
Oh.
Hang a second, it's being distorted now because I've got the music. Let's turn the music off and try again. I think it just makes a sploosh sound. Anyway.
So yeah. It's...
Yeah. As you put the harpoon into the water, it just goes sploosh.
Just like that.
That's it.
Sploosh.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Sploosh. I was talking
but probably
to
not quite in such a homosexual manner.
I was talking to Paul last night, and he said the attack emote sounds like gunshots.
Yeah, it'd be funny if the attack mode was in fact somebody drawing a shotgun, and no, that would be ranged. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, so I'd like to hear what all these sound like, but it's rather hard to get people to sample their sounds, you know. But so you can see that quest points obviously is a very weird sound and very staticky, you know.
Mm. So much like your voice.
No.
Yeah, when something sounds bad, that's a cue to Shane to play it over and over and over.
Just like that one site. Anyways.
Oh, PaylinsPresident.us. Oh, God.
Okay, so with the skill capes playing sounds, that's very nice. We got various tweaks and fixes now. So let's go through some of these human animations. The gliding thing was fixed when you would get hit when you were running, so that's good. And clipping is fixed, like with capes and whatnot, when you would see certain parts of your body coming through your cape. Familiars now have a right-click dismiss option. Yeah, if you guys have anything to say on this, either good or bad, just stop me after I say it. Fairy rings now have a larger click area.
Yeah.
Compost bins now automatically empty when you, or fill up, I mean, when you use a piece on it. So if you use like 15 watermelons on one, it will fill up by itself. I'm very happy about that.
Boo!
I guess your writing campaign worked then.
I know. Well, there was no campaign, but oh well. Same goes for basic brewing with wheat, hops, and the finished beer.
Yeah.
Bounty Hunter combat changes. They adjusted the craters to not include summoning, so now they have brackets for 3 to 55, 50 to 100, and 95 plus.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. And there was also apparently some trouble finding Dragon Daggers on the Grand Exchange. So they, Dragon Dagger P++, so they fixed that.
Yeah, no, it took me like hours to find one day because I didn't know what to search for.
Yeah, so that's fixed. And they also added some Addy items. It changed Adamant to Addy and whatnot, so that's good. Brad, are you still on RS?
No, I just logged out. Why?
There's a quick chat predictive search. I didn't get a chance to take a look at this, at what this
means. Oh, cool. I'm so logging in. I'm going to see how I can abuse this.
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. Maybe it's sort of like the Quicksilver thing, you know, on the Mac where you press Control Space, type in the first few letters, and then it will display the option, you know? You know, I think I suggested this when QuickChat came out to
Shane, you suggested every single update Jagex do every single damn week. It's all you, Shane. I hear Jagex have fired all their creative people. They just listen to this update every week and get all their ideas from you.
Well, it does make sense, you know?
Yeah, right.
The top hat?
The top... Oh, don't remind me of the bloody top hat. Okay. So how does this predictive text work?
I don't know. I'm testing it right now. So apparently you log in, press the quick chat button. Oh, you can press enter to search.
Oh, I'm not on a... Hang on a second. Am I on a quick chat world? Yes,
no,
I am.
No, you don't need that. So you can just say search for... Oh, so you just press...
Search for phrase. F-U-C-K-Y-O-U. No matching items found. Oh, damn it.
Ah. I don't think so.
Okay, enter search.
So you press double enter, then you can type borrow.
Enter search.
Could I please borrow?
Enter search.
Oh, that's
okay,
good.
Noob. Let's see what comes up from noob. No matching items found. Oh, come on, Jagex. This is no fun.
Remember when you could borrow a 9mm revolver?
Stefan Dion. No matching items found.
So, okay, quick chat predictive search. So that's good.
It's rubbish. I typed in dagger. Okay, I typed in whip and nothing came up. Dagger.
You gotta do the borrow option first. But.
Oh, this is rubbish. I'm disappointed, Jack. If I can't abuse it and say stupid things, then it's not fun.
Finally, a distant rumble has been heard just north of the backstory in Waterfall. Now, this is rather interesting. I've been poking around and stuff, and people say there's new abandoned anvils that you can't use yet, and surrounded by it, it sort of like goes down. Like, did anybody see that movie National Treasure 2?
No, and nobody cares.
Well, it's sort of like this, except, like, at the end, there's this, they go in this thing where it fills up with water, but this is sort of what this is like. And they accept it's expected that it'll fill up with lava because there's dragons with their mouths open pointing down, you know? And being it's near the mythical dragons, who knows, you know? So, there's been multiple theories such as Addy dragons that will drop the dragon plate. Another theory is that it's the broken down wall of the elemental workshop, because you remember there was a part 2 of that quest, so I don't know.
I don't know.
I found that quest series rather interesting, you know, just how they left it sort of suspenseful. I like it when they do that, so I don't know. There's multiple theories, but so we're just going to have to wait and see about that, unless somebody actually manages to find out more info. So if you have a good theory as to how this, what this is, send a message to Brad or myself, and if it's good, we'll talk about it next week. So just PM us on the forums, which is forums.rsbnb.com. Either Shane or Brad.
Shane.
Or Brad. Now, we're gonna move on to the poll this week. What would you do if you were a king for a day?
King for a... That's that crappy Green Day song.
Schwab, take the first question, please.
First question? All right.
Yes.
If you could be a summoning familiar for a day, which of these would you like to be? And there's Titan, Rune Minotaur, Unicorn Stallion, Hydra, Arctic Bear, Spirit Wolf, Pyrolord, Hermithulu Overlord, Giant Ent, Macaw, Giant Chinchampa, Talon Beast, Evil Turnip, and Spirit Cockatrice. It's pretty much a runaway with the Titan.
I don't know why. Why would people say that?
Because they want to be big and powerful.
Oh. What'd you pick?
What'd I pick?
Yeah.
I picked Pyrolord. I like fire.
Okay. What about you, Brad?
I would pick I want to be an evil turnip.
I said the macaw because it can fly up high.
Oh, who am I kidding? I already am an evil turnip.
Because it can fly up high, you know? So, yeah. And then it can also generate its own herbs, so that's good. So, that's what I said for that one. So, moving on to the next question, Brad.
Next question. If you had the option, which of these would you want to be for a day? I presume this is real life. Astronaut, film star, giant, king, queen, pilot, pop star, professional sports person, rock star, wizard, or witch? I would want to be... I can guess what Shane would pick. Shane would pick astronaut because he's sad in that way. I'd want to be...
Come on, Brad. What do you want to be when you grow up?
When I grow... If is the question. I don't know. None of those really particularly appealing.
Well, 36% say witch. Wizard.
I'll go with... Who would want to be a wizard? That's boring. I'll go with the king or the queen. Then I can have everyone killed.
They want to be like Harry Potter at 36%.
Harry Potter.
King and queen, 16%. Rockstar, 16%. Professional assassin, sports person, 11%. And then, yeah, it drops off from there. What about you, Schwa?
That wasn't funny, Shane.
I don't know. Probably like Rockstar. I think that's kind of cool. But they're all kind of cliche. But I like professional assassin.
Okay. Yeah, Brad was right. I said astronaut, but my second choice would have been a pilot, you know? You know, that's something I'd like to do. I don't know. I've always wanted to, go flying around in, a fighter jet, you know? I don't know why. So, I don't know, pilot or astronaut for me. And a giant, yeah, that's really far-fetched. Can't be that in real life.
Shane already is a giant.
No. Not in that respect. It's in the giant who is like King Kong size. That's what I think of when I see giant. But
you are
anyways,
King Kong.
Third question. If you had the chance to be a superhero for a day, which of these powers would you like to have? So 23% say ability to stop time, 11% teleportation, and 10% invincibility, 10% telekinesis. So what do you guys say?
I said before we started that the outcome of this poll, the winner of the third question will probably be the next skill in RuneScape. That's how much creativity Jagex has.
And it's 23% ability to stop time, so that means time runes are coming.
Time runes, time runes, time runes. Good God, Shane.
Did I ever show you the picture of a time rune I made?
No, and I don't want to see it, please. How would they even introduce the whole time-stopping thing to RuneScape? Because one person stops time, 10 million people can't play.
No, it would only be for pockets where those people can't move, And then it appears everything outside that pocket is stopped as well, but it's just stopped like that,
It's a rubbish idea, Shane. Pockets. Give up on it.
I sent you guys a link to my time rune image.
I presume this might be real life, but if I had the power, any of those powers, I'd probably want the power to know everything.
Oh yeah, that's good. What about you, Sean?
Although, that would probably be very depressing.
know who hates you and stuff, you mean?
Yeah, you'd know everything. It can't be good, can it?
Schwa?
Maybe super speed. That's kind of cool, because I already have Omniscience. I already know everything. So I go super speed.
Okay. So, what do you guys think of my time rune image?
I think it's sad. I think Shane would pick, apart from the ability to stop time, Shane would pick telekinesis.
Yep, that's right.
Yay! That reminds me of those questions we had once to find out who knows who better, Shane. And it turns out you know me better than I know you.
Or there's telepathy, which would be nice, read people's thoughts and stuff.
That could be very... I think that would be the same as knowing everything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It'd fall into that.
I don't want to know what everybody's thinking. People scare me enough just being, just being able to see what they do and what they say. If I knew what they were thinking, good God.
But if you had control over it, you could just, know everything about certain objects, kind of like Meteor Man, if you've ever seen that.
No, I haven't.
Like, he could touch something, and then for, like, 30 seconds, he could know everything about it. Like, he could touch, like, a book on how to do the certain kind of surgery, and then he'd know it for, like, 30 seconds.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's interesting. If I was, I would carry around a notepad and touch stuff and then start making notes.
See, with telepathy, I could talk to you right now without using my voice, you know? No. Oh, ability to communicate with animals, 1,400 votes. It's like those shows, you know, with those, with like the horse whisperer, you know?
Horse whisperer or a whale talker. I think I already have that.
Really?
Oh. There we go. There's the vent insults. It never gets old, does it? Never gets old.
Super senses.
It's all in good fun. Super senses. How would that work? Oh, what?
I don't know.
Have really good hearing and really good eyesight.
Yeah, that's really like good that.
That'd be really cool until you got like hit by someone. Because
that would be really good. It'd be really good until somebody farted 20 miles away.
What? Oh my. I didn't expect that from you, Brad.
Oh, really? Shane, no. That is such a shitty drawing of a time rune. That is terrible. That looks like a
fire. No, that's actually too good for RuneScape. That looks like too good for it.
It looks like all you've basically done is you've got an image of a rune, and on top of it, you've put on a brown circle with like a 10 past 6.
That's a clock!
Yeah, that hands are at 10 past 6.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And then the rainbow mistiness symbolizes like the aura that you'd see when you're going traveling through time, you know.
Shane, you've thought about this way too much.
The other choices were just had to have simple yellow and blue arrows on it, one having the clock go the other way, and the other having the clock go the other way, or counterclockwise and anticlockwise. I mean, so
okay, enough.
Yeah.
But the question.
But this week's third question on the poll sort of reminded me of like Heroes on RuneScape or something, you know?
I think it might have meant in real life in the same context as question two.
Moving on to questions now. I got two audio questions. This week is political questions because on Tuesday is the U.S. election.
Woo! Election!
Oh, yeah.
Schwa, too bad you can't vote yet, hey?
Yeah, no. Getting closer.
First one is a question from Warren.
Hello. So, Brad, why are you in love with Stefan Dion?
That's for Brad.
That's the question, right? Okay, first of all, I think Stephen Harper looks really dodgy, you know? You know sometimes when you go outside and you see people and you think, Christ, they look like a pedophile, right? Everybody does it, right? That's the sort of feeling I get when I look at Stephen Harper. Stephen Harper looks like a pedophile with his little Aryan family and everything. He just looks weird. I wouldn't want him being in charge of me. Whereas Stefan Dion, he may be completely incompetent and a bit of a sap, but he looks like a nice man. He looks like, he's sort of got that grandpa look, hasn't he? You know, old grandpa. That's why I like him. See, look,
he's
he does.
He's only in
he
his
looks
50s.
Like a, yeah, but he looks like a nice old man. I mean, you know, if he'd had a kid when he was 16 and his kid had had a kid when he was 16, he could be a grandpa. It's no problem.
He doesn't look like a grandpa at all. In fact, he looks like a generic politician, if you ask me.
And then here's...
He looks like the sort of person you could give a comforting hug
then
to.
Then there's the Stephen Harper one.
Harper just looks, to me, he's like, ooh, creepy. Ooh, he makes my, ooh. Seriously, he looks weird. He looks like he's got a lot to hide.
No.
It's pedophilia, for example.
No. Like the,
Shane,
the pictures
Shane,
on...
Shane,
the
what? You admitted to me in the run-up to the election that you didn't really like Stephen Harper that much either. He was just the only person to vote for.
Yeah, that's true. But
exactly.
I'm just saying that if you look at the conservative website, you can see him and his family, so clearly he's not a pedophile.
His own children, Shane. He looks like Alec Baldwin got in a fight with a sander. That's what he looks like. He looks like Alec Baldwin.
That's so true.
Wow.
He looks like Alec Baldwin's sort of younger brother who looks much older.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, what Brad said was right. It's like they kept the lid on the entire party, but he's the one running his mouth, so it's sort of his fault as to why they came up 12 sheets short on the majority. So
yeah, you still got a majority, did you?
No. 143. It's awfully close.
I can't remember the last time there was a coalition government in this country. It's not for a bloody long time.
They don't do coalitions here. They just get help from whoever they need to at the time, but that's aside the point. So
I
there
don't
you
think
go,
that's
Warren.
Ever happened here. I think,
are we done with that one? So,
yeah, we're done by this one. You suck. Stefan Dion forever. Because his heart will go on.
Next one is from Paul.
Is there any one quality in a candidate that will always put you off voting for them?
Let's go around here, starting with Schwa.
Well, I think there's always one quality that I like in a candidate, but I think it changes with every single candidate as well. Like, what I like in one person, I might not like in the other, but I like something else about them. That's how I feel.
Okay. So there's no one thing that puts you off, then?
Hair.
Okay, so like Stephen Harper's hair or something.
So who has the better hair, Barack Obama or John McCain?
John McCain has no hair.
Exactly.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
Okay, Brad?
I just want to point out, since we mentioned Barack Obama, somebody was... I saw this sort of really obscure blog post the other week about... Do you know the Pokemon Game Boy games that were out ages ago?
Yeah.
And you know the first ones that... Because we were talking about them a couple of weeks ago, weren't we, mm-hmm. with the whole Rudy Giuliani thing. But anyway, there was... The first two Pokemon games were Red and Blue, weren't they, for the Game Boy?
Yep.
And the first gym leader in both of those games was called Brock, right? Sounds a bit like Brack, right? And he gave you a TM, which, if you remember, taught your Pokemon a move, which was called Bide. Brock, Bide, Barack, Biden.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
I get it. It's a stretch.
I just thought it was funny. Anyway,
okay.
Quality that will put me off voting for a candidate if they're a creationist. As I've said before, I think anyone who's a creationist is blatantly ignorant of the world before their eyes, and anyone who's blatantly ignorant doesn't deserve to be a member of society, much less the head of it. So yeah,
okay.
That's all I've got to say.
Okay, I'm going to go with Brad on that as well, the creationist side. And also, if they can't see the bigger picture, you know? Like for instance, not being able to see the bigger picture in an economy that's slowing down, and you're presenting a budget that's adding over $20 billion in new spending when the economic times are uncertain, that just doesn't make any sense. It's like the lack of being able to see the big picture is what I have to say. So.
Yeah, micromanagement never helped anyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, so that's what I got to say on that one. Anybody else have anything?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Moving on, then. Brad?
Out of all the people running for president in the 2008 election, which one would you choose? I would have chosen Mitt Romney because he seemed best fit for the job. Which is from Waffle 530. 350, not 530. I have dyslexia, apparently.
Okay.
Mitt Romney, what? The crazy Mormon?
Okay, which one you?
Me? Probably Barack Obama. I sort of... The only ones I didn't really like have anything... The only people who I didn't like in the primaries was Mike Huckabee, the crazy religious one, who wanted to change...
Wasn't Romney the religious one?
No, I don't really have a problem with Romney. The only thing I know about him is that he's a Mormon. But... Mike Huckabee was the crazy Christian religious guy. I think I read something somewhere that he wanted to change the Constitution to make it more more Christian-like or something stupid like that. And I also didn't like any of the ones who raised their hands when, you know, there's that famous question in the debate when they said, you know, who doesn't believe in evolution, and a couple of the dumbasses put their hands up.
Was he one of them?
I also hadn't... What?
Was he one of them?
What? Huckabee? Probably, since he's an evangelical Christian. And I also hate Ron Paul, because he's a... My main problem with Ron Paul is not so much his idea... Well, number one, he's a creationist, and somehow all his fanboys seem to be able to look past that. and they still think he's perfect. And number two, some of the changes he wanted to make would never be feasible. I mean, he wanted, you know, a complete overhaul of the financial system and the sort of things like that. And I don't know about his policies in detail, I'll admit that, but from what he wanted to do, sounds impossible. I mean, a president would not be able to change that much. You know, I don't think they have that much power.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the majority of his supporters seem to act like if Ron Paul ever got elected, which would never happen, then the world would be perfect and, you know, golden light would shine out of his ass. So, yeah, that's my beef.
Okay. Schwa?
Oh, I've been with Barack Obama since the beginning. I haven't really changed from that too much.
Okay. For me, it was hard. I don't know. The Republicans on the U.S. side are too extreme, as we mentioned before, creationists, like that kind of thing. So that's a little too much for me. And then I don't know. I wasn't really cheering for anybody to win, per se, but I'd have to... I don't know. I really don't have anybody that...
Shade, you said you were supporting Obama.
Well, now, yeah, but not at the start. Like, that's what this is asking, at the start.
Well, yeah, I was sort of the same. At the start, I was just sort of watching to see what was going to happen, but there was no overwhelming candidate for me. I sort of liked Clinton for a while, which I know makes me sound really bad now, but... Yeah, I just went off her quickly, mainly because she sort of, when she was in the sort of the head-to-head between her and Barack Obama, she really turned into a crazy psychopathic and that can tend to put you off a woman. Hint, hint.
So, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Waffle. 350. Next question.
I read the first one.
Oh, Sean?
I guess read this one. If you had to choose based on VPs, who would it be, Sarah Palin or Joe Biden? I would do Biden for sure. How about you? Thanks, Zerkami.
Oh, that's such an easy question.
Oh, yeah, Joe Biden. I mean, I have nothing nice to say about Sarah Palin. Usually, everything I have to say is filled with some kind of profanity. So, Joe Biden.
That's like saying, would you rather... Oh, God, Shane's on that website again. Oh, God, no.
Okay, what were you going to say?
I think Sarah Palin is a major detracting fact to McCain's campaign. Yep. I mean, Obama was still much better than McCain without Palin. But Palin just drags McCain down so much more easily Biden.
If it wasn't for Palin and McCain was maybe 10 years younger, I might have actually decided to vote for him.
I think another thing that turned me off McCain, though, was that in all of the debates, which I watched all of, he seemed like really angry and bitter. And you think the last person you want in charge of America, the most powerful country in the world, is an angry guy. Because it's like me. I'd never be any good as the head of America because I'd have a mood swing and I'd nuke somebody. That's why you don't want an angry person. See, Barack Obama seems very calm and sort of doesn't look like he would lose his temper easily, whereas McCain is the exact opposite.
Remember when in the last debate, or second last, McCain called Obama that one?
Yeah, that one.
And then also in the news recently, Sarah Palin was referred to as a whack job.
She is a whack job.
Maverick.
That's right.
Stop. Ooh, he looks important.
I love that site.
Yeah, Shane is his home. Okay. Did you ask which one you'd prefer? Shane would prefer Sarah Palin because he
thinks she's Joe Biden.
Another thing about Joe Biden, though, is you don't really see much of him, but I remember seeing the thing on Dig about the 10-year-old kid interviewed him.
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember that? He seemed like a really nice person. Most politicians aren't very good with kids, but he seemed really good with his 10-year-old and really good at... He seemed like a nice guy. If he makes the... Although I did remember that there was a video of him at some fundraiser when he asked a guy in a wheelchair to stand up and take a bow. But apart from that, that's just funny. That's not... anyway, yeah. So
Stephen Harper's good with kids.
No, he's not. He's a pedophile.
I'm dressing up as Joe Biden for Halloween, actually.
You're dressing up as Joe Biden?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus Christ, you're sad. I'm sorry, that was just a reflex reaction.
So yeah, Joe Biden across the board. So with that said, Palin as president.us. Who do you think would make a better president and why? I would pick Obama. That's from Flash. So I think we're all pretty much on the same page.
Given what we've said so far, I can safely say we're all pro-McCain.
Pro-McCain?
We're all Obama, obviously.
Yeah.
I think, though, even if you take aside, you know, if you strip all the policies out and you just look at them and how they seem as individuals, like I said, McCain seems very angry and bitter, and he doesn't seem like he'd do a good job running a country from his personality, whereas Obama does.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what happens if McCain dies, you know?
Then we got a whack job in office.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I'd have to say Obama as well, because as we've seen that McCain has voted with Bush before, and is it, from an outsider's point of view, it does sort of look like the U.S. does need some change, you know, from the same old politics that George Bush-style politics, you know? That's what I see from the outside.
Yeah, I think Obama, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's not going to change that much, but I think Obama is certainly the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not overly fond of either of them. I don't think either of them is an ideal candidate, but Obama is certainly much more preferable than McCain.
Yeah, for lack of a better candidate.
That's a good point. Anything else we want to say about that one?
Go Obama.
Okay.
Go Obama.
Thank you, Flash. Brad?
If you had to choose anyone in the world to be the president of your country of residence at the moment, who would it be? Also, if someone offered you to be the president of your company, would you accept? Why or why not? Da, da, da. Thanks. Keep up the amazing show. That question is from Frosty Bow. That rhymes. Thanks. Keep up the amazing show. That question is from Frosty Bow.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Okay, let's handle the first part first. If you could choose anyone in the world to be the president of your country of residence.
President, prime minister, whatever. Emperor.
Okay, who would you pick, Shane?
That's hard. Myself, no, I don't know. I don't know. You guys go first.
Vladimir Putin.
That would be interesting in the U.S. Very interesting.
He's a good leader.
Only because he can kick ass.
Been poison political opponents, like that one Ukrainian guy or something.
And invade
Yushchenko.
Countries.
Yes, that's
and
it.
He can shoot tigers.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that story again? I forget.
It was he was doing some. Supposedly, he was doing some interview, and then some tiger escaped, and he got a rifle and he got a tranquilizer gun and shot it. It just seems awfully convenient, you know, like it was almost set up to be a publicity stunt, so it makes him look good.
Okay.
Have you decided yet, Shane?
You first.
Okay, I would say Margaret Thatcher, but she's sort of senile now, because she's 18.
Oh, yeah, 18. Thatcherism, that was
so
good.
Maybe not her. Yeah, bring Thatcher back. But if we're talking sort of who would be good as their current mental state, I'd probably say David Cameron, who's currently the leader of the opposition in this country, conservatives, and is much better than Gordon Brown, who is, you know, you sort of think, you know, after 10 years of Tony Blair, oh my God, can this get any worse? And then you get Gordon Brown, and that answers the question, yes, it can get a hell of a lot
That's
worse.
Sort of what happened with Jean Chrétien. When he retired, Paul Martin took over, and things just took a dive.
But so have you decided yet, Shane?
Yes, I have. There's former Alberta Premier Ralph Klein.
Is he the really right-wing one?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd pick him.
Right-wing one is quite difficult to say fast. Right-wing one, right? One,
see,
right,
the reason I feel he'd be good is he took Alberta from having deficits and big debt to having surpluses and the only debt-free state in North America. So that's why I think he'd do good for federal politics. So Yes. And if you could be, and if someone offered you to be president of your country, would you accept? Why or why not? Schwa?
No way. No way. Because every little fault of mine would be criticized, and I'd end up getting nothing done because I'd be battling them the whole time, and I just really wouldn't be good for running a country.
Well, that's why you have your... That's why you get your vice president to control the Senate, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that solves all your problems. When the vice president is controlling the Senate, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
So, okay. Brad?
No, mainly because I have anger management issues. I'd be like, you know, I'd have a shit day and I'd come into the office and I'd say, okay, just nuke the Russian bastards. And that would kick off a whole load of shit. And
England is a nuclear power?
What?
England has nuclear missiles?
Yeah, of course we do. We have nuclear subs. Anyway, I probably wouldn't mind like a job in sort of just being a member of parliament, but I wouldn't want to be the head of it all.
As for me, I'd have to say maybe. Definitely not. Yes. No, but maybe not. But as Brad said, being an MP would also be interesting and stuff. It's like that time we were talking about the differences between the Canadian House of Commons and the English ones, how you guys sit so close to each other, you know? Like almost arm's reach across the aisle. Remember?
What you saying how our House of Commons looks cramped?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just because your House of Commons, everybody sits like 20 meters from each other because they're all scared.
Okay, thank you, Frosty Bow. Next one from Andy Master. What defines a great political leader for you? It's from Andy Master.
I think it's got to be a mixture of things, hasn't it? I mean, I think they have to be charismatic. I think they've got to be quite calm. They've got to remain calm under pressure. I don't think they can ever be seen to crack or sort of lose their temper in public, which is why I'd never be any good. I think they've got to make good decisions. Got to have very good judgment, obviously. This is sort of, and I think they've got to looks play a big part. Not, they've got to look sort of, have that look. I'm sure, you know what I mean. I mean, you wouldn't see, you know, somebody who looks like a bit of a slob, you know, ever being a great political leader. They've got to sort of have that sort of commanding look. I think as well, they've got to be very strict and sort of...
That's what Ralph Klein was like. He was short and fat.
Yeah. to paraphrase, I think they've got to be charismatic. They've got to make good decisions, have good judgment. They've got to be very calm under pressure. And they also have to be very firm and quite strict with their staff.
That's good. I actually agree with what you said there. Only thing I'm going to add on is they have to identify with me, and I have to be able to agree with their stances. And
so they've got to be a Star Trek loving,
not necessarily
site owning.
No, not like that. They just need to sort of identify with me, you know. Like, for instance, a politician with a family will be more likely to get my vote than somebody who is a.
And somebody who is gay and has adopted children.
Sure. Or somebody who's like a rich professor who only has a wife and dogs for kids, you know? So
dogs for kids. That's not very nice.
Well, yeah, some people consider their dogs their kids, you know?
Yeah, like that lady that left like her whole fortune to her cats or whatever.
Well, yeah, there you go.
That was interesting.
So Schwa, what about you?
Good properties, great foreign policy, you know, calm under pressure, good judgment making, ability to shoot a tiger. they have to look good. John McCain looks like a turtle, but I just like him to be just to look good on TV and stuff like that. That I can actually relate to them more than just like look at them.
Yeah,
like
there we go.
That's point at them and go, that's my leader.
So we all sort of think the same thing. That's good. So there you go, Andy Master. Next one. It's from Kirby. Oh, okay, you go ahead.
All right. Obama, if he is elected president, plans to bring socialism into the U.S. Do you believe that this could upgrade into communism? P.S. Just got the original Star Trek series from a friend. The first two, that's all I've seen so far, are quite interesting. But it seems there's no episode one. Kirby.
The reason there's no episode one of that series is because in the original series, the pilot was never aired. So they just don't include it with the DVD set. You can only get it in the special collector sets.
But you have.
No, I don't. Not the
surprised.
Original series yet.
Wow, I'm
that's
surprised
why there's
as
no
well.
Episode one.
I don't see where the socialism thing has come from, in all honesty. The only thing I can possibly figure out where it might have come from is, you know, Obama's plan to cut taxes for working Americans. And I think somebody, either him or somebody in his campaign, used the phrase, which probably wasn't very wise, spread the wealth. Okay, now we know socialism is the concept where you take off the rich, you know, and give to the poor, so everybody's equal, step close to communism.
But
I don't see how giving tax cuts to working class people is doing that. So I don't see how Obama's a socialist.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it.
Yeah. And also his thing was tax cuts for anybody who makes under $200,000 a year. So that's really not socialist, because if it was socialist, the people with above $200,000 would also be getting tax increases, you know? But
people above 200,000 are getting tax increases under Obama, but that still isn't socialist. It would be socialist if Obama, you know, made them pay and, you know, an extra tax that was to be given to the poor. If he went around their house and said, you know, you earn over £200,000 a year, give me £10,000 to pay for those homeless.
Yeah,
that's socialist. Mm-hmm. But giving, you know, working class people a tax break is not socialism.
Yeah, that's very true. Another thing I want to point out is that if you were to plot the candidates on an economic political spectrum, going from left to right, left being communist, right being the furthest you can get from that, Obama would be center right almost, and then John McCain would be over further right along with George Bush, and then in between John McCain and Obama would be Stephen Harper. So. And then to the left of Obama would be the Canadian Liberal Party, and then to the left of that would be our Socialist Party. So it's really not socialism unless it goes over to that far left-hand side. Obama is still center-right if you look at all the economic policies
and I think at the end of the day, in countries like the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, no political party will ever get elected if they are not centrist. You know, all the big parties are either center-left, center-right, or centrist. No party that is ever extreme-left or extreme-right will ever get elected. So, you know, the fact, if he was truly a socialist, then he wouldn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Which, and obviously the people at the McCain campaign realize that and trying to make people believe that he is a socialist.
Another thing is those parties in the center are called brokerage parties, which means that they just try to commit to everybody to make themselves appealable, you know?
Like, obviously, yeah.
Like the conservative budget the first time around when we had our last conservative government was a very red liberal budget. So you have to sort of, like, people float either way. So that's just the way it works.
Much like you.
I don't float.
Anything to add to that, Schwal?
Not really.
Okay. Not really. And Kirby, good job on buying those, getting those Star Trek ones.
But bad job on calling Obama a socialist. So it sort of evens it out. You're even, you know. You didn't gain, you didn't lose.
Dear Pinky in the Brain, do you think Bush's bailout plan to buy out the bus banks and using taxpayers' monies would have worked? Also, what are your views on the economic crisis in first world countries? That's from Patrick.
I have one thing to say. Who's Pinky and who's the Brain in this one?
I'm the Brain. Shane is Pinky. I'm the Brain. What are we going to do this week? No, Shane says, what are we going to do this week, Brad? And I say, the same thing we do every week, Shane. Try and make jokes about former Australian people who are in no way connected to us and who probably don't care about us anymore. Yep.
Bailout plan. Yes or no, Brad?
I think that the banks should have been forced to take bankruptcy. I'm sure I talked about this a couple of episodes ago, so I'm not going to reiterate that whole thing, but I don't think the bailout was an entirely good idea. I think they should have bailed out the middle classes and the people struggling to pay the mortgages rather than the banks giving out the mortgages. Obviously, it'll work in the sense, but I don't think it was the best choice.
Mm-hmm. And Schwa?
Personally, I don't know where I read this, but someone's saying... that I read, it said that they should have taken the $700 billion and used it to give to the people that owed money on the mortgages so that they could pay the bank to bail them out instead. That seems like a pretty good idea. Either way, it'll work, but we're really just screwed over either way.
Yeah. I agree with what Brad said there. Hand it off to the people to pay to the banks, and then if the banks can't do it, make them take bankruptcy. But then again, you also got the problem that the American banking system is very fragile compared to, say, banking systems in countries that are descendants of Britain, like Britain itself, Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
Yes, Britain is a descendant of Britain.
Well, yeah, of course. But our banking systems are much more stronger than the American banking systems, as I'm sure we all know. Just the way they're all structured and regulated.
So the current interest rate in the United States because of the emergency is 1%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas the interest rates over here, I think it's still 4.5.
I don't know what ours is here. I think it's like 2.75 or something. I'm not sure. But
wow, you guys are lucky.
I know. I think it's because we're more tied closer to the US than you guys are. So but our banking system is regulated. We have the Central Bank of Canada, which is regulated by the government. Then the central bank regulates the subsidiary banks, and there's only six of them. So there's really not much. Like, there's not these small banks that you see everywhere in the U.S., you know? So that's why our banking system is sound here compared to the one in the U.S. Economic crisis in the first world countries, you know, It's something that's really not much to be worried about in this case, unless you're planning on retiring immediately. It's no worse than it was in the 70s, so there's really nothing to panic about. It's just the usual cycle of economics. Just let it work its way out of the system, and we'll be fine within the next 3-some-odd years or so. That's what I gotta say. What about you guys?
Nothing to say.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that. Doesn't seem like it's too much of a... Well, it's a crisis, but it's not like a...
Depression.
Really big one.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. How do elections work in Canada? Now I'm curious. In Texas, I think it's just electronic things they put in schools and other polling places. Do you have early voting? What system is used, etc.?
It's the same system as it's used here, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, I think.
We vote for local members of parliament, and the party with the most members of parliament has power.
That's right. And the members are elected by what's called the first-past-the-post system, which means whichever candidate in your area gets the most votes wins the seat.
Yeah, that's how it is here, with, like, representatives and stuff.
Yeah, but then you got the whole electoral college system, which is rather silly.
Oh, that's just... screwed up. I mean, but otherwise, like, representatives from each district to go to, like, the House of Representatives stuff, it's a lot like that.
Yeah. So that's how we work it here, and other countries that are of British descent also do that, like Australia and whatnot. I don't know why I keep bringing up Australia, but so
Australia
that's how
has
that
a
works. Yeah.
They're just not riding around in kangaroos?
No.
Hey.
So,
advanced Australia Fair.
Germany also does something, except they elect a chancellor out of whoever gets the most. Like, Germany does what's called proportional representation, where every vote counts, and then the actual people who are elected pick the chancellor and whatnot. I think that's what it's called, right, Brad? From when you lived there?
Yeah, the chancellor. Okay. But then apart from the chancellor, they also have a position... I can't remember exactly what it's called, but Kohler was the last Horst Kohler. I think it was Horst Kohler.
Yeah. Coalition
was,
governments.
I'm trying to find it. And they have a position called the President of Germany.
So what's the difference between the two?
The President... and a second. Duties, the degree of power that a president is, it's a ceremonial position.
That oh, so, so it's sort of like a sort of like the queen and stuff here.
The president proposes that an individual as chancellor, and then provided that they are subsequently elected by the Bundestag. It basically appoints the chancellor, sort of like.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of like in Australia, they're currently considering removing it because they want to become a republic rather than a Commonwealth country. The position they have in Australia, which is called the Governor General, which is the representative of the Queen in Australia.
Yeah, that's what we have here.
Yeah, the Australians don't want that. They want to be, you know, little rebellious kids who want to run off and do things on their own. You know, which is fine by Britain, you know. It's of no benefit to us to have them as a Commonwealth country. It's only a benefit to them. So if they want to sever that tie, that's their judgment. This week, my question is for mostly Shane, but Brad can answer the question later question if he wants to. So he assumes I'm not a conservative. Good God. What drew you to being a conservative, and does it mean the same thing in Canada as it does here in the US? No, because in the US, being a conservative means you're a blood-sucking vampire who wants to tread on everybody lower down the social and economic ladder than you are. Sorry, I had to insert that there. I know here when you say you're conservative, it means you're a Republican. No, it doesn't. If it is the same, is the Republican Party in the same Canada as it here as it is here in the US? That question's from Getness. Now, there is no Republican Party in Canada, is there?
No.
I don't like it when people, even though there's a party here called the Conservatives, which I support, I don't think it's right that people say, I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal, because I don't think anybody has an entire set of political views which perfectly match what is stereotypically a conservative or a liberal. People have conservative views, a few liberal views, you know, it all changes. So saying I am conservative, I believe everything conservatives believe, or I'm a liberal, I believe everything liberals believe, is dumb.
Yeah, that's right. But as for the question, we don't, as Brad said, we don't have the Republican Party here, and our conservatives aren't like the Republicans. They're sort of a tiny bit more conservative than Obama would be right now. But then again, it fluctuates too, depending on who's the leader, you know?
Mm.
Like, for instance, in the 80s, when I think it was Joe Clark was the leader of the Progressive Conservative Party, he turned it into a Red Tory Party, which was basically a conservative party that has leftist ideas. So there's different kinds of conservatives, and our party drifts around. Then, of course, there was the Reform Party and the Canadian Alliance, which was a neoconservative group, then again taking it further right. But then again, in 2003, when they merged with the Progressive Conservatives here, they became a center-right. So, no, we don't. And what drew us to being conservative?
Being conservative in the U.S.?
No. Well, yeah.
Oh, but, I don't know, you said.
Yeah, Brad, what drew you to being conservative or so, or supporting the Conservative Party?
Well, I think the majority of my views are conservative, but I think the Conservative Party in this country at the moment has its finger on the pulse more than the Labour Party do. I think they're more in touch with what's going on, whereas I think the current Labour administration is very out of touch with the average British person.
Well,
they've been in power since 1997.
Yeah. So that gets comfortable.
The Labour Party in this country win elections because the dumbass working class people in this country are stuck in the fallacy that Labour gives a damn about them. For so long, people think the Conservatives hate the working class and Labour loves the working class, whereas I think the truth is they're both indifferent to the working class in equal measure. That's what's got Labour through the last couple of elections. And mainly because so many people like to hate on Tories since Margaret Thatcher, like all the, you know, and Thatcher clashed a lot with the unions, so all the working class, you know, the former people who were unionized, everybody hates Thatcher, and as a knock on, everybody hates the Conservatives.
Yeah,
they should be it. Quote me on this, they should win the next election, which will happen either next year or in the first quarter of the year after.
Okay. That's the same thing that happened here with the Liberal government. They became out of touch and stuff, and the disorganized, and the Conservatives took over. But then you get the same problems, how you got different regions who are scared of the Conservatives and whatnot. But yeah, that's a topic for another day. If you're interested in political divides in Canada, send me a PM and I will greatly tell you about the history of all that stuff. Thank you. We are now moving on to tech news, unless anybody has anything else to say there.
Not really.
Okay. Microsoft launches Windows Azure. That's an interesting name, Azure. Sort of like Azurius, that client, but... Anyways, on Monday they announced that this version of Windows will run over the internet from Microsoft's own data centers. It's less a replacement for the operating system that runs on your computer as it is an alternative for an application platforms that developers can use. It lets people write programs that will run on the Windows Live data centers rather than on your own computer, so in essence, cloud computing, which is a direction that Microsoft is pursuing. And if they do this right, they can become second next to Google and leave Apple in third. So, that's what I gotta say on this one. What do you guys use any cloud computing stuff? Brad? Schwa?
No.
Nope.
So, but you guys do know when you're using your Gmail or Hotmail, that is cloud computing, right?
Then yes.
There you go. So, everybody uses a bit of cloud computing, and that's the future on this. So, that's what we got to say on that topic. I don't know if anybody has anything else, but it should be interesting to see how they implement this.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting.
Yeah. But they've already got all the services standalone, you know. They're just waiting to implement them and roll them all together, you know what I mean? Into something that's a useful suite that you can go to and access them all from one endpoint, if you know what I mean. So I don't know if this is something our people, our listeners, are interested in, cloud computing, but it's sort of where everything is headed in the future. So it's definitely something to be paying attention to. Do you guys have anything else on this one?
No. You got about covered it.
Okay. In that case, we got the first look at Windows 7, which is basically sort of an advancement on Windows Vista. They're not changing much of the underground underpinnings of how it works in terms of hardware and low-level stuff such as in the kernel level and whatnot. Windows 7 will mainly be on top graphical user interface kind of stuff, rather than they're just going to be tweaking Windows Vista to make it more user-friendly. Some things include the taskbar, which will be more intuitive and easier to use, dragging around and stuff. Then there'll also be new things called jump lists. When you click on the taskbar icon, you can maximize a window by dragging it to the top and then restore it by dragging it away from there or to the side. You can also peek at windows by mousing over them on the taskbar, which will hide all the other active windows. And then, of course, as we... Schwa, do you use Vista or what?
I just use XP. Don't have a new computer, so I don't use Vista.
On Vista, they have the Windows sidebar, which is where it would originally have all those things called gadgets, but they're removing that, and now they just get placed on the desktop, which is good. Then, of course, they'll have libraries, which are sort of like smart folders for pictures, music, and whatnot. So, definitely something to be waiting for, and we're supposed to get an early beta by January 2009, so we just have to wait and see. So, and then one other passing mention, Ubuntu 8.10 is out, otherwise known as Intrepid IBEX. So if you're a Linux person or you want to give it a try, go to ubuntu.com. Brad, you can wake up now.
Hello.
Schwa, take the first rant.
Alrighty. Notice the limits that I'm proposing remove the Grand Exchange pricing limits, not the player trade limits, so don't rant on me about them. All right, what's the problem? The Grand Exchange's 5% price range is too small. Really, there should be absolutely no limit at all in the Grand Exchange. Oh, this ought to be interesting. Proposal. Remove the 5% price range on items and let players make their own prices rather than a computer that's only barely influenced by the players. Obviously, the players who are buying won't have to buy an item for a ridiculously high price for something, but a rather bargain around for the item they want. An average pricing option would be left on for an easy buy, so if you don't know much about the item is going, or how much about the item is going for. Real world trading would still be prevented because the sales would still be randomized and you can't be scanned when you have to type in the item you want to interface. I don't know if they have the ability to just like totally get rid of the grand exchange pricing but then keep the player versus or player and player pricing like for trading and stuff.
What he's talking about is removing the caps, the min and max caps.
Yeah.
On the grand exchange.
So restoring pretty much.
No, that wouldn't even really work either because like say an item like totally obscure like I've encountered that like no one ever sells, like an apron, just a brown apron or something, you could like real world trade over the exchange with that and stuff. If you found like a totally obscure item.
Who real world traded obscure items? So
well, I mean, but if this was to be implemented, that's what they'd do. They'd just find, like, the most random item they could find and then just do their real-world trading with that.
Well, it's sort of the same thing as the junk trading now, you know? But, you know, it's the same thing in the end. You end up with the same value, so there's really... If you try and sell an item for, say, like, 50,000 dead crystal seeds, you got these crystal seeds left over, what are you supposed to do with those, you know? So that's junk
charge
trading,
them up and use them.
Yeah, but you have any idea how long that would take?
Several years. It'd be worth it.
So, I don't know. I think it would be a good idea to remove those because, as Brad said, it would restore a free market economy, which is what the main problem with the grand exchange is, right? Is that it's too controlling. And then you get items that don't sell and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
Anything else on that, Brad?
No, nothing at all.
Okay. Take the last rant then.
Okay. This is one serious complaint. I just did this quest and I got a cool weapon. Its examine text is an advanced combat training device. But when I try to kill someone with it, I just keep hitting zeros. So when I looked in the equipment stats, it has -100 stats! !! I demand to see some justice because I did this quest specifically for this weapon, and I ended up getting a useless weapon that no one can kill people with. The quest is called A Tale of Two Cats, and I'm pretty sure some other people would like to see an explanation. ? What an idiot.
Do you know what he's talking about?
He's talking about like the cat training device, unless he's cat. Oh god.
So do you think he really expects it to be a weapon, or is he just writing this to be funny?
I don't know. You sort of think there could be someone out there who is that stupid.
But you never know, it could just be someone being funny. So
that's not funny, though.
No, but that's... just the way he wrote it is how he's trying to use it to, like, kill stuff. But I don't know. But I don't know. He's probably really stupid, as said. But I don't know. I just thought I'd put this one in for kicks and giggles, unless anybody else has anything on here. Thank you, Brad, for that rant. We're going to move on now to other things, including the Skill of the Month update, which is rather interesting at this point since we last talked. And if you look at it, Warren is winning by less than 100 XP, and there has been no movement since then. So, Warren's winning by 69 or 59 XP. Or 69, yeah. 69 XP. So, construction this month, Warren will probably end up winning this. There's still time to catch him if you have lots of money and you want to hurt your fingers, so go at it. And then, of course, we got the signups open for the November Skill of the Month, which is hit points. So sign up for that. Basically means do any combat skill that you want and then cash in on hit points XP at the end of the month. Brad, you still awake?
Barely.
Okay. We also got the YouTube channel, a new video up this week. How to farm. Little bit of an introduction on how farming is done if you are aiming to get to the higher levels, like upwards of 70 and onward to 99. So that's from Chief Snake. So just be sure to watch that video, and you'll understand the joy that farming brings to me. I don't know. Brad, what do you think?
I think you're crazy.
Why?
Because farming brings you joy?
Sure it does.
Okay.
I went on a herb farming run before we did the show.
That's a little sad.
Schwa, what's your stance on farming?
I could go either way on farming. It doesn't seem very useful to me. Like, versus I could be doing other things to make money. I don't find it enjoyable walking around for extended periods of time.
But it's different every time. It's different every time.
Sure it
but
is.
I don't know. I've made lots of money off herb farming, so that's just something to look at. Anyways, we got your first article on the RSBNB Informer this week, a rather informative article on forgotten places in RuneScape. I quite enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I've been thinking about
informer.rsbnb.com. Brad, what'd you think of it?
Think of what?
Schwa's article.
I have not read it.
Ah,
thanks for that.
I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good. A lot of times Shane links me to his articles and says, read that, and I say I have, but I haven't. I just... It's sort of like when you're a parent and you have kids and they bring you a drawing and you say it's good even though really you think it's shit.
What have we been up to?
Brad, what have I done? Oh, I've got to tell you this story, right? I went in because Fable 2 was released last Friday here, and I was in Cheltenham, which is a town near where I live, getting my haircut, coincidentally. And I usually order all my games online, but I decided since I was in town, I would pop into a game store and buy it. Now, it has a 15 rating. I didn't really think this would be a problem, but when I went into the store to try and buy it, she asked me for identification to prove my age. I didn't have identification with me, so of course
you didn't have
a
driver's license.
No, I didn't have it on me. She refused to sell it to me on the grounds that I didn't have ID. So I went home, wrote a really shitty email to the game company, and I got a groveling reply back several days later. But they didn't actually offer me anything. I think it was hilarious the fact that I was refused sale for a 15 rated game.
Oh,
that's all. That's probably been the most eventful thing that's happened in the past 7 days for me.
Wow. Were you driving around with your driver's license?
You don't need to carry your driver's license when you drive here. If you get pulled over by the police, you have 14 days to present your license at a police station. So it helps,
really? So,
but it's not essential.
Really? So what's the point in that then?
To prove you have it?
Yeah, but so do they just let you go then without a ticket or something?
Well, no, if they have your name and they can remember what you look like and look your name up on the list.
I see. Okay. What about gaming? What have you been playing or doing?
Fable 2, but not very much. It's quite a good game.
What's it about?
It's a bit like Oblivion. Do you remember what Oblivion was like?
No.
So like a role-playing game, and I can't explain it, it would take too long, but it's, if you like Oblivion, you'd like Fable.
Okay. Schwa?
I just had my birthday yesterday. That was fun.
Happy birthday yesterday.
Thank you.
You got very quiet. So speak up a bit. Say again.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But yeah, so we just kind of went out to dinner and stuff with my family, stuff like that. And
then
I played a bunch of Rock Band and went to bed.
Oh yeah, Rock Band. Is that your birthday gift or?
No, I've had it for a while. That's just all I ever do.
Okay. Rock Band. Did you get anything interesting for a gift or anything?
Mostly just money that I spent on food and random things.
I like money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, happy birthday then. See, that's our birthday gift to you, is to come
happy
on the show.
Happy birthday to you.
Next year?
Why, what happens next year?
His birthday, you dumbass.
What? I didn't hear
his
that.
His birthday. Birthday.
What about it?
Once a year, Shane.
Oh.
Birthdays are once a year.
So what are we supposed to do with it?
Oh, for the love of God, just so slow. It's painful, Shane. It's painful how slow you are.
Oh, well. I don't know. I think it's time we wrap this one up then.
We have been recording for 90 minutes.
Get this out on Halloween night, but we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But with that said, it's been RSBNB Update 176 with Schwa. Do you have a website or anything?
Not really my own website, no.
Okay, so at informer.rsbnb.com. And Brad, where are you now?
I am nowhere.
Okay, so I'll just link
Please
to your forum profile
Please direct hate mail
or something.
To bradwoodward@hotmail.co.uk. Thank you very much.
No, brad@rsbnb.com.
Yeah, brad@rsbnb. Either one. I have lots of emails. I'm sure if you want to send me hate mail, it'll get to me. I could do with a good laugh, so please send me some hate mail.
And for me, runewire.com/Shane. See you next week, everyone.